The Old Testament reading for the Transfiguration of our Lord is from Exodus chapter 24. And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up. And they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the 7th day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Peter chapter 1. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God, as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James, and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." This is the gospel of our Lord. Our gospel lesson today, Matthew 17, 1-9, is our sermon text. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, some people have secrets, and you would never guess who they are or what secrets they are hiding. Some are pleasant secrets, like a special talent which few people know about, but which on the right occasion is used to benefit the public. Some are shocking secrets, which you find out through the news or police crime blotter. Some people have amazing secrets, like the little old lady I met one day in New York City. I was touring downtown Manhattan by myself. I had a pocketbook about the architecture of New York, and I was looking for the Equitable Building, which is a National Historic Landmark. While I was stopped at a street corner and trying to figure out where I was, an ordinary-looking old lady with a tattered bag, in fact, I thought she might be a bag lady, as they called them, walked up to me and she said, "Are you lost? Are you looking for something, dear?" I looked up from my book and said, "Yes, do you know where the Equitable Building is?" And she smiled at me and said, "Certainly. My husband and I own the place. It is there, right across the street." So I looked up, way, way up, 40 floors, to the top of the building, and then back down to my book, and sure enough, it was right there in front of me. It was so close, I didn't notice it. And then suddenly I realized what she had said. I looked up from my book, and she was already halfway down the block. I didn't believe her, so I asked a New York traffic policeman who was standing right next to us if she was pulling my leg. Is she just a lady that's, you know, kind of lost it now? He replied, "No, she's telling the truth. I work here all the time. She comes out here almost every weekday to look at her building, the Equitable. And if things aren't in order, she'll let management know about it. And if the street is fouled up in front of it, she'll let me and the city know about it." Jesus was one of those people who had amazing secrets. If you met Jesus on a street corner in downtown Capernaum, Nazareth, or Jerusalem, you would have thought he was just a regular guy. There was nothing special about his appearance, his manner, or his dialect. If you invited him over for dinner, he would have eaten the same kosher foods that you ate, and in the same way. There was no special gleam in his eye that you find in artists' paintings, or a halo over his head. Jesus was, to all appearances, just a normal Jewish guy from Galilee. But there were two things that broke through the appearance of normality. The first was Jesus' teaching and preaching. Nobody knew the Old Testament scriptures better than he, including the smartest guys in Jerusalem. And it was their job. They were at the top, the PhDs, the PhDs. And nobody understood the proper interpretation and application of the Old Testament better than he. And this was very strange because everybody, at least in Nazareth, knew that Jesus had not studied with the rabbis in Jerusalem or anywhere else. Jesus and Mary were not well off financially, so they could not have hired a personal tutor. The religious leaders were amazed at his teaching, and they said, on one occasion, "How did this man get such learning without having studied?" John 7, verse 15. The second thing that broke through the appearance of normality was his ability to heal people and to cast out demons. And this immediately put him into the Hall of Fame of the greatest Jewish prophets. Here are some examples from the Old Testament. Moses prayed for his sister Miriam when she became leprous, and she was healed because of his prayers. Numbers 12, 13 to 15. Elijah raised up from death the son of the widow of Zarephath, 1 Kings 18:17 to 23. Elisha raised up from death the son of the widow of Shunem, 2 Kings 4:32 to 37. Elisha also cured the leprosy of Naaman, the commander of the Aramean army, 2 Kings 5:13 to 15. Isaiah produced a cure for King Hezekiah's nearly fatal illness, Isaiah 38:21. And there were other cases of healing by prophets, but they were rare. Now, what had been an occasional, or maybe a once-in-a-lifetime ability of the greatest Old Testament prophets was an everyday occurrence for Jesus. Healing and casting out demons were a natural talent for him. And what was amazing about Jesus is that he healed everyone, everybody he touched, and he cast out every demon that he encountered. It was as if disease, disability, and evil spirits flew away, never to return, when Jesus came close to those afflicted. It was as if he was the central source of sanity and health. But he looked like just a regular guy. What secret was he hiding? Our gospel lesson reports that toward the end of his earthly ministry, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to the top of Mount Tabor. They went up to the mountain to get away from the crowd so their prayers would not be interrupted. And while Jesus was praying, the regular guy disguise faded away. And the apostles saw Jesus as he truly is in all his divine glory. He was, at that point, a source of light, a type of light they'd never seen before, because it is the light that's in the heavenly places. Peter, James, and John were standing on the soil and the rocks of Mount Tabor, but Jesus was in heaven, as was evident by his talking to Moses and Elijah. Now, while they were wondering who this Jesus really was, a thick cloud surrounded them, and a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Peter, James, and John remembered the stories of how God had appeared to the people of Israel on Mount Sinai with divine light, in the burning bush, with clouds, and with a voice from heaven. And then they knew, if they'd ever had a doubt before, they knew then that Jesus was God's son, the appointed Messiah, and that all the people of the world should listen to him. Years later, the Holy Spirit brought these events back to the mind of the Apostle John. He wrote of this transfiguration, quote, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." John chapter 1, 14. And in his epistle, John also wrote of the same event, quote, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, and we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us." 1 John chapter 1, 1 to 3. And then the Apostle Peter also recounted his experience of the transfiguration. He wrote in his epistle, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father, when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, who I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. 2 Peter 1:16 to 18. Who is this Jesus who was filled with light and was testified to by the divine voice to be God's only Son? Well, he is first and foremost your Savior from sin, death, hell, and Satan. Through his perfect obedience and his suffering and death on the cross, he has conquered the old evil foe and paid for the sins of the whole world. If you repent of your sins and believe in Jesus and his words, that is, if you listen to him as the voice commands, then you are righteous in God's sight and his child. Those who are righteous in God's sight, though remaining sinners in this life, have the very certain promise of the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of their bodies, and the life everlasting. In this way, Jesus is not only your healer, he is life itself, as John so wonderfully explains. May you always listen to Jesus and so receive the crown of eternal life with him. In our Savior's name, amen.